As I said, we have entered into the final stage of the Easter Pentecost season. First stage is the octave of Easter, then we have the middle section up until the Feast of the Ascension. Then the last stage is this one, between the Ascension of the Lord and the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So our reflections go especially to the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray the Novena to the Holy Spirit these days. We're on the fourth day of the Novena. Yesterday, during my ministry of the weekend, I passed by a man who I'm not even sure his name, but I've seen his face, and I said hello, good morning. And he said, "Father, I was just confirmed." He's a middle-aged man. I was so surprised. I said, "Well, great, congratulations, what happened?" And he told me the story. He had discovered that he had never received the sacrament of confirmation. And so he looked into it, and he was told, I don't know exactly how it happened, but he ended up going on Saturday to the church in Quiapo and received the sacrament of confirmation. And so he was so overflowing with joy about receiving the sacrament, he had to tell somebody. So most people didn't care. He told the priest. He said, "Oh, good, congratulations, that's beautiful." He said, "Ever since I've been so hot." I said, "Well, maybe it's a hot day." He said, "Well, maybe it's the Holy Spirit." Anyway, so reminder of the great sacrament of confirmation came back to me as I was reflecting on this first reading. Because the sacrament of confirmation is very often misunderstood and very often neglected. I hope everyone here has been confirmed. If you haven't been confirmed, be sure and take the steps to receive the great sacrament of confirmation. It goes along with baptism. If in the liturgical year we focus on certain sacraments at different stages, this is the time of year when we focus on confirmation. So in Lent, our focus is on reconciliation, usually, receiving the sacrament of confession. Then in the Easter season, especially early Easter, the focus is all on baptism, because baptisms traditionally took place at the Easter Vigil. So Easter and baptism go together. But Pentecost and confirmation go together. Now, both baptism and confirmation are sacraments of the Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. But they're different in this sense. The baptism, of course, is the beginning. Baptism is the initiation. It's the first reception of the power of grace. We're brought into the body of Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit. But in confirmation, that gift is brought to a greater strength, a maturity, an unfolding. That's why it's called confirmation. It confirms something we have already received, but has not been fully activated. Sometimes people compare it, in fact, the fathers of the church compare this to in an army, when you're first recruited into the army, that's baptism. But when you're sent into the battlefield, that's confirmation. So a new soldier is not that effective in the war, but someone who's received confirmation has the strength he or she needs to do the battle of the spiritual life. Well, this came to my mind because of this reading in which Paul meets people in Ephesus who have never heard of the Holy Spirit. We ran into this last week where the people in, was it also in Ephesus, right? Yeah. Well, in fact, it was Apollos. Apollos was the one who only knew of the baptism of John, and he needed to be further instructed. Well, here's Paul discovering believers who never heard of the Holy Spirit. Actually, this is related to an incident that took place earlier in the book of Acts, in chapter 8. We read this on Sunday, a week ago Sunday. You might remember this passage where Philip goes to Samaria, the evangelist Philip goes to Samaria, proclaims the gospel, the people receive it with great joy. And then when the apostles hear that Samaria had welcomed the gospel, they sent Peter and John. Peter and John showed up, and discovered, well, the people had been baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So that passage, that's Acts chapter 8, is connected to this passage, Acts chapter 19, where there's evidence of a two-stage process. There's baptism, and then there's the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, which the church over time recognized as the two sacraments of baptism and confirmation. Here in this reading, so Paul says, well, what, you know, how were you baptized? They were baptized with the baptism of John, which is not yet the sacrament. So then it says, then he says, well, that was just a preparation for the one who is to come, who is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's baptism. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men, kind of little Pentecost event. But again, it seems that there's two stages of it. There's the baptism, and then there's this laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what we're reflecting on in this stage of our liturgical journey. We're in the days before Pentecost, focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As I mentioned earlier, on the fourth day of the novena, we pray for the gift of fortitude, which we certainly need when we're facing trials. Where do we get the strength to persevere when things go against us? Well, we get it from the Holy Spirit. Strength is another word for that gift. Courage, another word for that gift. The capacity to be able to not run away, but to persevere when we're facing difficulties. Today's saint is a great example of it. I said this earlier, St. John the First, Pope St. John the First. He was caught up in political and religious controversy, and the tide turned against him, and so the emperor threw him into jail and gave him such severe treatment that he died of it. That's why we honor him as a martyr. Well, how did Pope St. John the First put up with that kind of treatment? How does anybody put up with such severe injustice and pain? Not simply by being tough, but by relying on the Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, Jesus indicates that we're going to need a strength to persevere, because it will not be easy. This is at the very end of Jesus' discourse at the Last Supper. After this conversation with the apostles, he turns to prayer. I think that's in tomorrow's gospel. We spend a couple of days listening in on Jesus' prayer to the Father. But here, the disciples say, okay, now we believe. And he says, do you believe now? The hour is coming when you'll be scattered. You're going to face a difficulty that will shake you to your depths. You're going to abandon me. But the Father never abandons me, so I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about you. I told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Now, he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit here, but it's implied. Why? Because Jesus' conquering of the world is his victory. How does his victory apply to us? How is it shared with us? Through the Holy Spirit. Certainly, first of all, in baptism. That's why we recall the sacrament of baptism on Easter Day, because the victory of Jesus over sin and death, which is the absolute victory, becomes our victory too through the sacraments, starting with baptism. But when he talks about having trouble in the world, well, it's an indication of a situation of trial or circumstances that we're going to find difficult. We're going to experience our own weakness. What do? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the fortitude that comes from God. By the power of his Spirit, we can persevere. This is a very consoling thing. We can't live in the idea that we're never going to have any problems. We will certainly be disappointed, and could even lose our faith. If we have that conviction that everything's, now that we believe in Jesus Christ and he's risen from the dead, everything's going to be fine. No, it's not. In the world, you will have trouble, Jesus says. So what do we do when we have trouble? We rely on the Holy Spirit. So we continue our journey now, our liturgical journey, and we continue to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit so that we can persevere in faith and hope and love.